From the Conference Center at Temple Square in Salt Lake City, this is the March 2014 General Women's Meeting of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, with featured speakers from the First Presidency and the General Women's Organizations of the Church. Music for this meeting will be by a combined Primary Young Women Relief Society choir. Women 8 years of age and above are gathered together throughout the world to receive counsel and instruction from church leaders. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President, will conduct this meeting.
We welcome you to the General Women's Meeting of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. President Thomas S. Monson, who presides at this meeting, has asked that I conduct. My name is Bonnie L. Oscarson, Young Women General President. This is the first time since September 1992 that all of the women of the church have met together in a conference. And this is the first time ever that 8- and 9-year-olds have been included. What a blessing for Relief Society Primary and Young Women Sisters to be meeting together on this historic occasion. We are gathered in the Conference Center in Salt Lake City, Utah, and rejoice in knowing that there are similar gatherings in meeting places throughout the world. We are grateful to be together as girls, young women, daughters, sisters, mothers, grandmothers, aunts, and friends. We hope you can feel our love for each of you, no matter what your age or where you are located. We are blessed to have President Monson and his counselors, President Henry B. Eyring and President Dieter F. Utdorf, with us tonight. We likewise welcome Elders Jeffrey R. Holland and D. Todd Christofferson of the Quorum of 12 Apostles, Elder Paul B. Piper of the 70, and Bishop Gary E. Stevenson, presiding bishop of the church. Also seated on the stand are the Young Women, Primary, and Relief Society General Presidencies. We recognize with appreciation the Relief Society and Primary General Board members who are with us, and are especially happy to have two sisters join us who serve on the Sunday School General Board. We welcome the 4 newly called members of the Young Women General Board who reside here in Utah, and are thrilled to recognize the 5 new board members from New York, Brazil, Japan, Peru, and South Africa. These sisters are there with you, watching from their respective areas. They will continue to live and work from their native lands. This brand new worldwide board will be a great blessing to us. The music tonight will be provided by a choir of sisters ranging in age from 8 to 80. They have come together as both family members and friends. They represent 290-plus stakes within a 100-mile radius of where we are meeting this evening. The choir is under the direction of Emily Wadley, with Bonnie Goodliffe at the organ. The choir and congregation will open this meeting by singing, "Hark, All Ye Nations." The invocation will then be offered by Emery Elizabeth Smith, a brand new beehive as of this month, in the Murray, Utah South Stake. The choir will then sing Daughters in His Kingdom, an original number by Tammy Creamer, received through the Church Music Submission Program, with Susan Robinson, a Maya Maid from the bountiful Utah East Stake, on the cello, Mackenzie Hart, who attends primary in the Salt Lake Canyon Rim Stake, on the violin, and Hillary Kimball, a Relief Society sister from the Springville, Utah Stake, on the flute.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be gathered here and in many places throughout the world. We are thankful for the church leaders that have planned this night and prepared messages. We are thankful for the Book of Mormon and for the restored gospel and the blessings they bring into our lives. We are thankful for our living prophet, President Monson, and for his counselors and all those who serve with them. We are thankful for thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for his example, atonement, and resurrection. We are thankful for the sister auxiliary presidencies and for their love and leadership. We ask thee to please bless that we will listen to the messages tonight through the Spirit, feel peace, and receive revelation and answers to prayers. We love thee and ask for thy blessing to be upon all those who will participate tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
As a daughter in his kingdom, I
Thank you, sisters, for that beautiful number. We will now be pleased to hear from Sister Rosemary M. Wixom, Primary General President. After her remarks, we will see a video of sisters throughout the world singing, "I Am a Child of God." On the final verse, we invite everyone to join in singing this wonderful message that has been a part of our lives and testimonies. Our music director, Sister Wadley, will lead us. We will sing the words of the first verse. Following the singing, it will be my privilege to address you. Sister Wixom.
Oh, sisters, we love you. While visiting Mexico recently, I had a glimpse of the sisterhood we are all feeling tonight. Imagine this scene. We had just finished primary on Sunday morning, and the children, teachers, and I were spilling out into the crowded hallway. Just then, the door to the young women class opened, and I saw the young women and their leaders. We all reached out for a hug. With the children holding on to my skirt and the women close around me, I wanted to express the feelings I felt at that very moment. I do not speak Spanish, so only English words came into my mind. I looked into all of their faces and said, "We are daughters of our Heavenly Father who loves us, and we love Him." Everyone immediately joined in Spanish. There we were in a crowded hallway, reciting together the young women theme as we said, "We will stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places." Tonight we gather together all over the world as His disciples with a desire to defend and sustain the kingdom of God. We are daughters of our Heavenly Father. We are covenant-making women of all ages walking the path of mortality back to His presence. Keeping covenants protects us, prepares us, and empowers us. There are girls among us tonight who are primary age. Some of you have recently taken that first step on the path to eternal life with the ordinance of baptism. Look around you. The future is bright as you see women who have also made covenants and are ready to show you the way along the path ahead. If you are 8, 9, 10, or 11 years old, whether in the conference center or in your home or in a meeting house around the world, would you please stand up? Welcome to the General Women's Meeting. Now please stay standing because we want to invite you tonight to participate. I'm going to hum a primary song. And as soon as you recognize the tune, will you begin singing with me? Now you must sing out so all can hear. Ready? Standing, girls, while everyone 12 and older now sings the second verse. Beautiful. You may sit down. Thank you. As women of all ages, we walk in his light. Our journey on the path is personal and well lit with the Savior's love. We enter the gate to the path of eternal life with the ordinance and covenant of baptism, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Elder Robert D. Hales asks us, do we understand, and do our children understand, that when we are baptized, we are changed forever? He also explained that when we understand our baptismal covenant and the gift of the Holy Ghost, it will change our lives and will establish our total allegiance to the kingdom of God. When temptations come our way, if we will listen, the Holy Ghost will remind us that we have promised to remember our Savior and obey the commandments of God. Each week, as we partake of the emblems of the sacrament, we renew our baptismal covenant. Elder David A. Bednar said, as we stand in the waters of baptism, we look to the temple. As we partake of the sacrament, we look to the temple. We pledge to always remember the Savior and to keep his commandments as preparation to participate in the sacred ordinances of the temple. Temple ordinances lead to the greatest blessings available through the atonement of Jesus Christ. They are those ordinances necessary for our exaltation in the celestial kingdom. And as we strive to keep our covenants, our feelings of inadequacy and imperfection begin to fade, while the ordinances and the covenants of the temple come alive. Everyone is welcome to walk that path to eternal life. I am in awe at the strength of the girls, young women, and women I have met around the world whose feet are firmly planted on this path. Let me share some examples of covenant girls and women I have met. Luana was 11 years old when I visited her family in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Because of a traumatic event in her childhood, Luana could not speak. She had not spoken for years. She sat silently as we all conversed. I kept hoping for even a whisper from her. She looked at me intently as if uttering words were not necessary for me to know her heart. After a prayer, we stood up to leave, and Luana handed me a drawing. She had drawn Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I then recognized her witness loud and clear. Luana had made a covenant at baptism to stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places. She understood the atonement of Jesus Christ, witnessed through her drawing. Had she come to know that through the strengthening and enabling power of the atonement, she could be healed and speak again. Since that day, 3 years ago, Luana has progressed in her effort to speak. She is now participating in Young Women with her friends. Faithful to the covenant she made at baptism, she continues to share her witness of the Savior. Youth all over the world are drawn to temples. In Lima, Peru, I met a father and three of his daughters outside the entrance of the temple. I saw the light in their faces. Two of the daughters were severely disabled and sitting in wheelchairs. The third daughter, while attending to her sister's needs, explained she had two more sisters at home. They too were in wheelchairs. They were unable to travel the 14 hours to the temple. The temple meant so much to this father and his daughters that four of them had come to the temple that day. Two of them to simply observe the one who could be baptized for the dead and perform that sacred ordinance. Like Nephi, they delighted in the covenants of the Lord. A single woman I know values the weekly ordinance of the sacrament and its sacred promise, that she may always have his Spirit to be with her. That constant companionship is a promise that softens the waves of her loneliness. It gives her strength to immerse herself in developing her talents and a desire to serve the Lord. She has discovered great joy in adoring all the children in her life, and when she seeks serene peace, you will find her in the temple. Lastly, an elderly woman in her 90s has watched her children and grandchildren grow up and her great-grandchildren come into this world. Like many of us, she's had a life filled with sorrows, afflictions, and incomprehensible joy. She confesses that if she were rewriting her life story, she would not choose to include some of the chapters that have been written. Yet, with a smile, she says, "I just must live a little longer and see how it all turns out." She continues to hold fast to the covenants on the path. Nephi taught, "After you have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, if all is done, behold, I say unto you, nay. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life." Each one of us is on that path. Tonight we sang about walking the path in the light. As individuals, we are strong. Together with God, we are unstoppable. The Lord said to Emma Smith, "Lift up thy heart and rejoice and cleave unto the covenants which thou hast made." We do rejoice that through keeping our covenants, we may feel the love of our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. I testify that they live in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In that video, we saw 8 countries and heard 9 different languages. Imagine how many more languages were added on that final verse. It is thrilling to know that as a worldwide sisterhood, we were able to raise our voices in testimony of the eternal truth that we are daughters of a loving Heavenly Father. What a great privilege it is to be here on this historic occasion and address all the women of the church, ages 8 and above. There is tremendous strength in our unity this evening. As I see all of us gathered together in the conference center and contemplate the thousands of others who are viewing this broadcast from locations around the world, the combined power of our testimonies and faith in Jesus Christ surely constitutes one of the most faith-filled and powerful assemblies of women in the history of the church, if not the world. Tonight we rejoice in our many different roles as women in the church. Though in many ways we are different and unique, we also acknowledge that we are all daughters of the same Heavenly Father, which makes us sisters. We are united in building the kingdom of God and in the covenants which we have made, no matter what our circumstances. This combined assembly is without a doubt the most glorious sisterhood upon the face of the earth. To be sisters implies that there is an unbreakable bond between us. Sisters take care of each other, watch out for each other, comfort each other, and are there for each other through thick and thin. The Lord has said, "I say unto you, be one, and if ye are not one, ye are not mine." The adversary would have us be critical or judgmental of one another. He wants us to concentrate on our differences and compare ourselves to one another. You may love to exercise vigorously for an hour each day because it makes you feel so good, while I consider it a major athletic event if I walk up one flight of stairs instead of taking the elevator. We can still be friends, can't we? We as women can be particularly hard on ourselves. When we compare ourselves to one another, we will always feel inadequate or resentful of others. Sister Patricia T. Holland once said, "The point is, we simply cannot call ourselves Christian and continue to judge one another or ourselves so harshly." She goes on to say that there is nothing that is worth us losing our compassion and sisterhood over. We just need to relax and rejoice in our divine differences. We need to realize that we all desire to serve in the kingdom, using our unique talents and gifts in our own ways. Then we can enjoy our sisterhood, our associations, and begin to serve. The fact of the matter is, we really and truly need each other. Women naturally seek friendship, support, and companionship. We have so much to learn from one another, and we often let self-imposed barriers keep us from enjoying associations, which could be among our greatest blessings in our lives. For example, we women who are a little older need what you primary age girls have to offer. We can learn much from you about Christ-like service and love. I recently heard a wonderful story about a little girl named Sarah, whose mother had the opportunity to help another woman in her ward named Brenda, who had multiple sclerosis. Sarah loved to go with her mother to help Brenda. She would put lotion on Brenda's hands and massage her fingers and arms because she was often in pain. She then learned to gently stretch Brenda's arms over her head to exercise her muscles. Sarah brushed Brenda's hair and visited with her while her mother took care of her other needs. Sarah learned the importance and joy of serving another person and came to understand that even a child can make a big difference in someone's life. I love the example we have in the first chapter of Luke, which describes the sweet relationship between Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her cousin Elizabeth. Mary was a young woman when she was informed of her remarkable mission to be the mother of the Son of God. Initially, it must have seemed to be a heavy responsibility to bear alone. It was the Lord himself who provided Mary with someone to share her load. Through the message of the angel Gabriel, Mary was given the name of a trusted and sympathetic woman to whom she could turn for support, her cousin Elizabeth. This young maiden and her cousin, who was well stricken in years, shared a common bond in their miraculous pregnancies. And I can only imagine how very important the 3 months they spent together were to both of them, as they were able to talk, empathize, and support one another in their unique callings. What a wonderful model they are of feminine nurturing between generations. Those of us who are a little more mature can have a tremendous influence on the younger generations. When my mother was just a little girl, neither of her parents was active in the church. Even at the young age of 5, she would walk by herself to church and attend her meetings, primary, Sunday school, and sacrament meeting, all at different times. I recently asked my mother why in the world she did that week after week when she had no support or encouragement at home. Her answer was, I had primary teachers who loved me. These teachers cared about her and taught her the gospel. They taught her that she had a Father in heaven who loved her, and it was their concern for her that kept her coming week after week. My mother said to me, that was one of the most important influences in my early life. I hope I can thank those wonderful sisters someday. There is no age barrier when it comes to Christ-like service. A couple of weeks ago, I met a stake young woman president in California who told me that her 81-year-old mother had recently been called to be a MyMate advisor. I was so intrigued, I gave her mother a call. When Sister Val Baker's bishop asked to meet with her, she was looking forward to being called as a librarian or a ward historian. When he asked her to serve as a MyMate advisor to the young women, her reaction was, "Are you sure?" Her bishop solemnly replied, "Sister Baker, make no mistake, this call is from the Lord." She said she had no other answer to that except, "Of course." I love the inspiration this bishop felt that the 4 MyMates in his ward have much to learn from the wisdom, experience, and lifelong example of this mature sister. And guess who Sister Baker will go to when she needs help setting up her Facebook page? I think of the great help that the Sisters in Relief Society can be in welcoming young sisters who have recently been in Young Women. Our young sisters frequently feel as if they don't have a place or anything in common with those in Relief Society. Before they turn 18, they need young women leaders and mothers who will joyfully testify of the great blessings of Relief Society. They need to feel enthusiastic about becoming part of such a glorious organization. When young women begin attending Relief Society, what they need most is a friend to sit next to, an arm around their shoulders, and an opportunity to teach and serve. Let us all reach out to help one another through the transitions and milestones of our lives. Thank you to all the women of the church who are reaching out across age and cultural lines to bless and serve others. Young women are serving primary children and the elderly. Single sisters of all ages spend countless hours watching out for the needs of those around them. We recognize the thousands of young women who are giving up 18 months of their lives to share the gospel with the world. All of these things are evidence that, as our beloved hymn states, the errand of angels is given to women. If there are barriers, it is because we ourselves have created them. We must stop concentrating on our differences and look for what we have in common. Then we can begin to realize our greatest potential and achieve the greatest good in this world. Sister Marjorie P. Hinckley once said, "Oh, how we need each other. Those of us who are old need you who are young, and hopefully you who are young need some of us who are old. It is a sociological fact that women need women. We need deep, satisfying, and loyal friendships with each other." Sister Hinckley was right. Oh, how we need each other. Sisters, there is no other group of women in the world who have access to greater blessings than we do as Latter-day Saint women. We are members of the Lord's Church, and regardless of our individual circumstances, we can all enjoy the full blessings of priesthood power through keeping the covenants we have made at baptism and in the temple. We have living prophets to lead and teach us, and we enjoy the great gift of the Holy Ghost, which serves as a comfort and guide in our lives. We are blessed to work hand in hand with righteous brothers as we strengthen homes and families. We have access to and the strength and power of temple ordinances and so much more. In addition to all of these magnificent blessings, we have each other. sisters in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with tender and charitable natures, which enable us to render Christ-like love and service to those around us. As we look beyond our differences in age, culture, and circumstances to nurture and serve one another, we will be filled with the pure love of Christ and the inspiration which leads us to know when and whom to serve. I extend to you an invitation that was issued once before by a General Relief Society president who said, "I invite you to not only love each other more, but love each other better." May we realize just how much we need each other, and may we all love one another better is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We will now have a special video presentation that illustrates the ways in which Daughters of God support and love one another as we live covenant-centered lives. Following the presentation, we will hear from Sister Linda K. Burton, Relief Society General President. The choir will then favor us with a special medley of "Lord, I Would Follow Thee and Love One Another."
Thank you. Dear sisters, I echo Sister Wixon's words, we love you. As we watched that beautiful video, did you see your own hand reaching out to help someone along that covenant path? I was thinking about a young primary girl named Bryn who has only one hand, and yet she uses that hand to reach out and bless her family and her friends, Latter-day Saints and those of other faiths. Isn't she beautiful? And so are you. Sisters, we can offer hands to help and hearts to hasten Heavenly Father's wonderful work. Just as our faithful sisters in the scriptures, such as Eve, Sarah, Mary, and many others knew their identity and purpose, Bryn knows that she is a daughter of God. We too can know of our own divine heritage as beloved daughters of God and the vital work He has for us to do. The Savior taught, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. What do we need to know and do to live with him someday? We can learn from the story of the rich young man who asked Jesus what he needed to do in order to receive eternal life. Jesus answered him, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The young man asked him which ones he should keep. Jesus then reminded him of several of the Ten Commandments they're all familiar with. The young man responded, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus called him to become a part of his work, the work of a disciple. Our work is the same. We are to lay aside the things of the world, cleave to our covenants, and come unto Christ and follow him. That's what disciples do. Now, sisters, let's not start beating ourselves up because the Savior spoke to the rich young man about becoming perfect. The word perfect in this account was translated from a Greek word that means complete. As we try our best to move forward along the covenant path, we become more complete and perfect in this life. Like the rich young man in Jesus' day, sometimes we're tempted to give up or turn back because maybe we think we can't do it alone. And guess what? We're right. We cannot do the difficult things we've been asked to do without help. Help comes through the atonement of Jesus Christ, the guidance of the Holy Ghost, and through the helping hands of others. A faithful single sister recently testified that through the atonement, she found strength to use her helping hands and willing heart to raise the 4 children her sister had left behind when she died of cancer. That reminded me of something Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, quote, all the easy things that the church has had to do have been done. From now on, it's high adventure and followership is going to be tested in some interesting ways, close quote. You have been sent to earth in this dispensation of time because of who you are and what you have been prepared to do. Regardless of what Satan would try to persuade us to think about who we are, our true identity is that of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Mormon was a true disciple who lived in a day when every heart was hardened and there never had been so great wickedness among all the children of Lehi. How would you have liked to have lived in that day? And yet Mormon boldly declared, behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Don't you love Mormon? He knew who he was and what his mission was and was not distracted by the evil that surrounded him. In fact, he considered his calling to be a gift. Think what a blessing it is to be called to give our gift of daily discipleship to the Lord, declaring in word and deed, behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I love the story President Packer told of a dear sister who was ridiculed for following the prophet's counsel to store food. The one who criticized suggested that if times became desperate, her food storage would be taken and given to others anyway. Her simple and resolute response as a true disciple was, "At least I'll have something to bring." I love the women of the church, young and old. I have seen your strength. I have seen your faith. You have something to give and are willing to give it. You do this without fanfare or publicity, drawing attention to the God we worship, not yourselves, and with no thought of what you will receive. That's what disciples do. I recently met a young woman in the Philippines whose family became less active in the church when she was only 7 years old, leaving her alone to walk a dangerous road to church week after week. She told how at age 14 she decided that she would stay true to her covenant so she would be worthy to raise her future family in a home blessed by the strength of priesthood power. The best way to strengthen a home, current or future, is to keep covenants, promises we've made to each other and to God. That's what disciples do. A faithful Japanese sister and her husband visited our mission in Korea. She didn't speak Korean, and she was limited in her ability to speak English, but she had a willing heart to use her unique gifts and helping hands to do the Lord's work. That's what disciples do. She taught our missionaries how to do a simple piece of origami, a mouth that could open and shut. Then she used the few English words she knew to teach the missionaries to open their mouths to share the gospel, a lesson they will never forget, nor will I. Visualize for a minute you and me standing together with the other millions of sisters and brothers in his church going forth boldly, doing what disciples do, serving and loving like the Savior. What does it mean to you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Mormon Helping Hands vests and shirts have been worn by hundreds of thousands of selfless disciples of Jesus Christ who have embraced the opportunity to provide temporal service, but there are other ways to serve as devoted disciples. Imagine with me some of the possible spiritual help wanted signs related to the work of salvation. Help wanted, parents to bring up their children in light and truth. Help wanted, daughters and sons, sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, cousins and grandparents, and true friends to serve as mentors and offer helping hands along that covenant path. Help wanted, those who listen to the promptings of the Holy Ghost and act on impressions received. Help wanted, those who live the gospel daily in small and simple ways. Help wanted, family history and temple workers to link families eternally. Help wanted, missionaries and members to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help wanted, rescuers to find those who have lost their way. Help wanted, covenant keepers to stand firm for truth and right. Help wanted, true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, Elder M. Russell Ballard issued a clarion call to the sisters of the church when he said, quote, "Between now and the day the Lord comes again, he needs women in every family, every ward, in every community, in every nation who will step forward in righteousness and say by their words and their actions, 'Here am I, send me.'" My question is, will you be one of those women? Close quote. I hope each of us can answer with a resounding yes. I close with the words of a primary song. "We are covenant daughters with a gift to give. We will teach the gospel by the way we live. With each word and action, we will testify. We believe and we serve Jesus Christ. As true disciples, may we offer our willing hearts and our helping hands to hasten his work. It does not matter if, like Bryn, we have only one hand. It does not matter if we are not yet perfect and complete. We are devoted disciples who reach out and help each other along the way. Our sisterhood reaches across the generations to those faithful sisters who have walked before. Together as sisters and in unity with living prophets, seers, and revelators, with restored priesthood keys, we can walk as one, as disciples, as servants with willing hearts and hands to hasten the work of salvation. As we do so, we will become like the Savior. I so testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear sisters of every age, we express our sincere appreciation to each of you for sharing this evening with us. We thank the choir and all others for their participation and gratefully acknowledge those who have assisted in preparing for this meeting in any way. It will now be our privilege to hear from President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. At the conclusion of President Eyring's remarks, the choir will close this meeting by singing, "Let Us All Press On." On a signal from the conductor, the congregation will join in singing the last verse. The benediction will then be offered by Sister Ofa Kafusi, a Relief Society sister in the Salt Lake Canon Stake. President Eyring.
We have been taught with spiritual power tonight. I pray that the words spoken by these great sister leaders will go down into your heart as they have in mine. This is an historic meeting. All the women of the church, 8 years of age and older, have been invited to join with us tonight. Many of us have prayed that the Holy Ghost would be with us. That blessing was granted as we heard these sisters speak and listened to the uplifting music. I pray that the Spirit will continue to be with us as I offer some words of encouragement and testimony. In addition to what has already been said, and particularly to testify that what we have been told is what the Lord would have us hear. I will speak tonight about the path that has been, in so beautiful ways, been described today that we must take on our journey back to our Heavenly Father. That path is marked by sacred covenants with God. I will talk with you about the joy of making and keeping those covenants and helping others keep them. A number of you were baptized recently and received the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. To you, that memory is fresh. Others were baptized long ago, so the memory of your feelings of that covenant experience may be less clear. But some of those feelings come back whenever you listen to the sacramental prayers. No two of us will have the same memories of the day when we made that sacred baptismal covenant and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, but we each felt God's approval, and we felt a desire to forgive and to be forgiven, and an increased determination to do right. How deeply those feelings went down into your heart was determined largely by the way you were prepared by loving people. I hope that those of you who came into the kingdom recently are blessed to be sitting near your mother. Some of you are tonight. If you are, you might send her a smile of thanks right now. I can remember the feeling of joy and gratitude as I sat behind my mother on the drive home from my baptism in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My mother was the one who had carefully prepared me for making that covenant and for all the others that would follow. She had been faithful to this charge from the Lord. Quote, "And again, inasmuch as parents have children in Zion or in any of her stakes which are organized that teach them not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands, when 8 years old, the sin be upon the heads of the parents, for this shall be a law unto the inhabitants of Zion or in any of her stakes which are organized, and their children shall be baptized for the remission of their sins when 8 years old and receive the Holy Ghost," close quote. My mother had done her part. She had prepared her children with words much like those of Alma, as recorded in the Book of Mormon. Quote, "And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, Here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now, as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God in all things and in all times and in all places that you may be in, even until death, that you may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now I say unto you, if this be the desire of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that ye have entered into a covenant with him, that ye will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his Spirit more abundantly upon you? And now, when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands for joy and exclaimed, "This is the desire of our hearts," close quote. You may not have clapped your hands when you first heard that invitation to covenant by baptism, but you surely felt the love of the Savior and a greater commitment to nurture others for him. I can say surely to this audience, because those feelings are placed deep in the hearts of all of Heavenly Father's daughters. That is part of your divine heritage from him. You were tutored by him before you came into this life. He helped you understand and accept that you would have trials, tests, and opportunities perfectly chosen just for you. You learned that our Father had a plan of happiness to get you safely through those trials, and that you would help bring others safely through theirs. This plan is marked by covenants with God. It is our choice whether we make and keep those covenants. Only a few of his daughters have the opportunity in this life to even learn of those covenants. You are one of the favored few. You, dear sisters, each of you is a daughter in the covenant. Heavenly Father taught you before you were born about the experiences you would have as you left him and came to earth. You were taught that the way back home to him would not be easy. He knew that it would be too hard for you to make the journey without help. You have been blessed not only to find the way to make those covenants in this life, but to be surrounded by others who will help, who, like you, are covenant daughters of Heavenly Father. You have all felt the blessing of being in the company tonight of daughters of God who are also under covenant to help and direct you as they promised to do. I have seen what you have seen as covenant sisters keep that commitment to comfort and help and do it with a smile. I remember the smile of Sister Ruby Haight. She was the wife of Elder David B. Haight, who was a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. As a young man, he served as the president of the Palo Alto stake in California. He prayed over and worried about the girls in the Maya-made class in his own ward. So President Haight was inspired to ask the bishop to call Ruby Haight to teach those young girls. He knew she would be a witness of God who would lift, comfort, and love the girls in that class. Sister Haight was at least 30 years older than the girls she taught. Yet 40 years after she taught them, each time she would meet my wife, who had been one of the girls in her class, she would put out her hand, smile, and say to Kathy, "Oh, my Maya maid." I saw more than her smile. I felt her deep love for a sister she still cared for as if she were her own daughter. Her smile and warm greeting came from seeing that a sister and daughter of God was still on the covenant path home. Heavenly Father smiles on you as well whenever he sees you help a daughter of his move along the covenant path toward eternal life. And he is pleased every time you try to choose the right. He sees not only what you are, but what you may become. You may have had an earthly parent who thought that you could be better than you thought you could be. I had such a mother. What I didn't know when I was young was that my Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, sees greater potential in his children than we or even our earthly mothers see in us. And whenever you move upward on that path towards your potential, it brings him happiness, and you can feel his approval. He sees that glorious potential in all of his daughters, wherever they are. Now, that puts a great responsibility on each of you. He expects you to treat every person you meet as a child of God. That is the reason he commands us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to forgive them. Your feelings of kindness and forgiveness toward others come as your divine inheritance from him as his daughter. Each person you meet is his loved spiritual child. As you feel of that great sisterhood, what we thought divides us falls away. For instance, younger and older sisters share their feelings with the expectation of being understood and accepted. You are more alike as daughters of God than you are different. With that view, young women should look forward to their entry into Relief Society as an opportunity to enlarge their circle of sisters, which they will come to know, admire, and love. That same capacity to see what we can be is increasing in families and in primary. It is happening in family home evenings and in primary programs. Little children are being inspired to say great and marvelous things as they did when the Savior loosed their tongues when he taught them after he was resurrected. While Satan is attacking sisters at earlier ages, the Lord is lifting sisters to higher and higher levels of spirituality. For example, young women are teaching their mothers how to use Family Search to find and save ancestors. Some young sisters that I know are choosing to go early in the morning to perform proxy baptisms in temples without any urging beyond the spirit of Elijah. In missions across the earth, sisters are being called to serve as leaders. The Lord created the need for their service by touching the hearts of sisters in greater numbers to serve. More than a few mission presidents have seen the sister missionaries become ever more powerful as proselyters, and particularly as nurturing leaders. Whether or not you serve as a full-time missionary, you can gain the same ability to enrich your marriage and the capacity to raise noble children by following the examples of great women. Consider Eve, the mother of all living. Elder Russell M. Nelson said this of Eve, quote, "We and all mankind are forever blessed because of Eve's great courage and wisdom. By partaking of the fruit first, she did what needed to be done. Adam was wise enough to do likewise," close quote. Every daughter of Eve has the potential to bring the same blessing to her family that Eve brought to hers. She was so important in the establishment of families that we have this report of her creation, quote, "And the gods said, let us make an helpmeet for man, for it is not good that he should be alone. Therefore, we will form an helpmeet for him," close quote. We don't know all the help Eve was to Adam and to their family, but we do know of one great gift that she gave, which each of you can also give. She helped her family see the path home. When the way ahead seemed hard, open quote, and Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, "Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed and never should have known good and evil and the joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient," close quote. You have her example to follow. By revelation, Eve recognized the way home to God. She knew that the atonement of Jesus Christ made eternal life possible in families. She was sure, as you can be, that as she kept her covenants with her Heavenly Father, that the Redeemer and the Holy Ghost would see her and her family through whatever sorrows and disappointments would come. She knew she could trust in them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, close quote. I know that Eve faced sorrows and disappointments, but I also know that she found joy in the knowledge that she and her family could return to live with God. I know that many of you who are here face sorrows and disappointments. I leave you my blessing that, like Eve, you may feel the same joy that she felt as you journey back home. I have a sure witness that God the Father watches over you in love. He loves each of you. You are his daughters in the covenant. Because he loves you, he will provide the help that you need to move yourself and others upward along the way back to his presence. I know that the Savior paid the price of all of our sins, and that the Holy Ghost testifies of truth. You have felt that comfort in this meeting. I have a testimony that all the keys which bind sacred covenants have been restored. They are held and exercised today by our living prophet, President Thomas S. Monson. I leave these words of comfort and hope with you, his beloved covenant daughters, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Fight for right and a sweet Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a living prophet, Thomas S. Monson. We sustain him and the leaders of the church that have been called to lead us today. We thank thee for the choir that has invited the Spirit through music. We thank thee for thy Spirit that has touched our heart and mind to feel and know that we are daughters of God. We thank thee for the testimonies that have been shared, that have inspired us of our identity, purpose, and value in thy kingdom. We ask thee to strengthen our capacities and bless our work. We express gratitude for our membership in a true and living church and for this special women's conference. We love thee, Father. These blessings we ask for in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.